You ever watch this guy on television?
You all were not telling the truth, and you should not be trusted.
Congressman Matt Gaetz, thank you for what you did for your country tonight.
Be offended with the Democratic whip, not House Republicans.
Like a machine, Matt Gaetz.
Welcome to Hot Takes. This is Congressman Matt Gaetz. Let's talk about the news. And the news in America is lawlessness right now. As we've witnessed since Friday, our communities have fallen into chaos. What ostensibly, in some cases, purported to be political protest, and perhaps was legitimately among some, turned into looting and rioting and destroying businesses and property and cars.
Here, unfortunately, Shannon, seeing a terrible scene. Fires burning here along H Street. We do smell, oh boy, we're getting tear gassed. And unfortunately, I can add just a moment ago, it does appear that St. John's Church is on fire. The parish office, we went downstairs and it is on fire.
It was deeply disappointing to me to see my Florida colleague, she's, I guess, auditioning for Vice President Val Demings, diminishing the destruction of property. And, you know, that I just don't get that. I don't get why we as Americans and particularly as lawmakers would allow this to happen to a country that we love so much. I'm grateful that the Trump administration took strong action by designating Antifa a terrorist organization. They should have been designated a terrorist organization long before, and the Trump administration has done that, and I'm grateful for it. The practical effect of Antifa being designated a terrorist organization is that their communications, their funding, their movements now get subjected to a higher level of scrutiny and limitation, and that should really restrict what they're able to do in terms of organizing and promoting violence. We have seen a response from corporate America to these riots that is not reflective of a desire to see law and order restored. It is virtue signaling. Time and again, we see companies like Netflix and Hulu, Disney entities, putting out statements that, you know, what really matters to them is that we, you know, acknowledge the Black Lives Matter movement. And while I certainly think it's appropriate and proper for any corporate entity to make such a statement if they desire, I think that that focus now has to be paired with a desire to return to some semblance of order in our communities so that our people can be prosperous and free. I mean, think about what's happened to small businesses in this country recently. You know, first, the government makes your business illegal, and the next thing you know, you got rioters and protesters breaking things, burning things, making it where customers are even more frightened to go out and engage in commerce. And there was a statement from Starz. This is the premium, movie and television service, a channel. And they put out a statement saying, "We cannot stand silent while our Black communities are under the weight of violence, discrimination, and injustice. Color of Change and the NAACP are among the organizations taking the lead in the fight for racial justice in America. We support them in their mission, and you can too." Well, let me just tell you something. The NAACP in my community criticized a Black man, a community leader, a school superintendent in my district, because he had the audacity, not of hope, but the audacity to actually support Donald Trump over Joe Biden. And he was critical of Joe Biden making those rather strange and offensive "you ain't Black" comments. And then the NAACP comes out and issues a statement criticizing him and trashing him. And so, you know, it is disturbing and disappointing to see companies like Starz and just so many others in corporate America wrap their arms around like these entities like the NAACP that can do some pretty devious and crudely political things just for the benefit of power. So I'm disappointed in the NAACP in my community, and I'm disappointed in those who would simply embrace them in toto without evaluating the types of impacts that they have, particularly when they come after Black leaders who don't want to just tote the note with the party line. On a Don Lemon's show on Friday night, there was this real desire to characterize the events that we're seeing in our communities as demonstrations, as politics, not as violence, not as looting, not as stealing. But when you see people, you know, smashing a window in a Target, running in, grabbing a flat screen TV and running out, they're really making a political statement, I guess. Here is sort of just the characterization on Don Lemon's show of this type of violence in a way that clearly demonstrates the bias that you see.
Large group who are protesting and walking the street there. We understand that you have been talking and to some of these folks tonight.
But incredibly respectful. Also here, we haven't seen the police except to block off some of the streets so that they can pass peacefully.
I understand the anger. I don't understand the actions. I'm not going to judge people, because when you don't have an outlet, when you don't have a platform, when you're upset and when you're angered, people lash out in ways that you or I may not understand. So I will give them the benefit of the doubt.
So Chris Cuomo, also in the CNN primetime lineup, he goes to a reporter hit, and you don't get the same thing that you hear on Don Lemon. Here from the actual people on the ground, you hear characterizations that there is no peacefulness, that this is not some act of politics, that these are acts of violence. Listen to how the characterizations of events during the Chris Cuomo coverage just vary so greatly from the Don Lemon coverage.
Demonstrators have started to cup up and down this thoroughfare of Marietta and break out windows of CNN Center. It was just a short time ago that they started shooting what appeared to be BBs at us. I was struck with a BB pellet. It's unreal to witness here, Chris. This police line, we just saw an officer extracted. An officer was down. We don't know exactly how they were injured. Another officer here that was standing on these steps took some glass in the arm. These demonstrators are ready to confront these law enforcement officers. You have law enforcement in heavy tactical gear, protesters that are, you know, clearly ready. You just see something else happen there. Another demonstrator threw what appeared to be a large object at one of those SWAT officers. They're throwing signs at the police officers, and they're not showing any sign of dispersing. These demonstrators are now launching something that appears to be some sort of smoke grenade that they're throwing inside CNN Center right now. They're kicking it back out, guys. This is live happening in front of your eyes.
We must love America enough to stop people from burning her. We must love this country enough to actually enforce curfews when they are issued by our governors and by our mayors in the event that the failure to enforce them is going to put our people at risk. And our people are undeniably at risk when we are able to use a tragedy in such a way that tortures the quest for justice that absolutely must happen in these cases that we see where Black men are subjected to departures from protocol, departures from the law, violence, and even in the most egregious cases, death at the hands of police officers. We wouldn't want to see that with anyone. And I think, frankly, the country is sick and tired of seeing that in cases that involve African Americans. But that is no license to burn down, tear down, loot, riot. I mean, this is a country that just weeks ago was building hospitals to ensure that we could respond to the coronavirus. And you know what? If we have to build jails to respond to these riots, then so be it, because we cannot allow this type of behavior to just continue in the absence of some sense of society and respect for one another and honoring of the fact that Americans ought to be able to walk the streets in our communities without the fear that somebody's going to walk by with a baseball bat and smash a car. We don't deserve that. This great country doesn't deserve that. And so if we have to build the jails, you know, to ensure that people face consequences for this, I think that that's what our strong leaders need to do. Looters are not engaged in political speech. There's a reality that may not be politically correct, but it's true. There is a permanent criminal element in every society that has ever existed in all of human history. And when we see this type of chaos on our streets, that permanent criminal element goes out to take advantage of us and to take advantage of our division. They steal, they riot, they loot, they commit acts of arson, they hurt people, they hurt innocent people that have nothing to do with anyone's political grievance, and they take stuff that's not theirs. And there is no right to do that. And regardless of what point one needs to make on orienting the relationship between law enforcement and our communities in a more productive way, this is not productive.
And just to get a sense of the challenge that faces people in our country who want to live lawfully and play by the rules, take a listen to how dire the circumstances have become in some of the areas in our great country.
Once the door was broken, we saw something similar happen earlier. And as you can see, there's definitely a fire here. This is the parish office. So they're trying to clear the area, Shannon, with the pepper spray and with the tear gas to try to clear people.
Anything we can do to get it out?
No, I don't know that there's anything we can do to put that out. I didn't see an extinguisher.
Our leaders need to stand behind the law-abiding people of our country who, in fact, deserve those safe streets. And we also need to acknowledge that when we encounter this permanent criminal element in our society, that we do not coddle it, that we do not turn the other way, that we suppress it, that we do everything we can to ensure that the people that would do harm to good, law-abiding Americans do not have the capability to do so. We need to see stronger enforcement in that regard in our communities and in our states. And I am hopeful that people who simply want to be able to open their businesses, simply want to be able to be kind and respectful to one another, have the opportunity to do so.
It did not get much coverage from the media. It sort of got lost in the news cycle. But on Friday in the Rose Garden, President Trump called for a suspension of our relationship with the WHO on a going forward basis because of their inability to protect public health. Of course, the World Health Organization is supposed to do that, but they've largely been simping for China. They've been carrying China's water. They've been excusing China's lack of transparency. Here's the president in the Rose Garden taking action that I've called for, and that is a suspension of our relationship with the WHO absent major structural changes.
The United States wants an open and constructive relationship with China, but achieving that relationship requires us to vigorously defend our national interests. Chinese officials ignored their reporting obligations to the World Health Organization and pressured the World Health Organization to mislead the world when the virus was first discovered by Chinese authorities. Because they have failed to make the requested and greatly needed reforms, we will be today terminating our relationship with the World Health Organization and redirecting those funds to other worldwide and deserving urgent global public health needs.
I have big news to break on former Vice President Joe Biden and UPenn, where the Biden Center is hosted. That breaking news informs on the relationship that I've been talking about on a number of podcast episodes between China and America, China and academia, and the way that China uses money to try to access influence in the United States of America. You'll want to go back and check out my episode about Max Baucus specifically in that regard. But there's a piece in the Washington Free Beacon by Alana Goodman that should be getting a lot more attention. She lays out a complaint that has been filed, and the allegations are very damning if they're proven true regarding the Biden Center. I believe that when this is fully discovered and investigated and reported, if the allegations that are made and covered by the Washington Free Beacon are ultimately proven true, the scandals with the Biden Center could be even worse than the Clinton Foundation, could be even more damning, even more direct, and even more telling, because it's not like as this Biden Center stuff was going on, we didn't know that the way a lot of people engaged in international cash for U.S. policy or contracts or business wasn't through precisely these types of foundations or centers that created the capillaries for this type of concerning behavior. So let's get into the report, to the complaint and the allegations and the law that is informed by this. And then at the very end, I'll share with you what I believe is the breaking news, the very important information, and the consequences that may be coming for the Biden Center and for the University of Pennsylvania. So let's start with the law. In the United States of America, our Department of Education does not allow universities to take anonymous gifts, particularly from foreign entities, over $250,000. Now, if it's a U.S. entity, obviously we allow anonymous gifts because, frankly, a lot of people want to give a bunch of money to a university and then they don't want to have their relatives calling them for money or other people or other business ventures. And so it is easier for some people in our country to give anonymously. But the only reason that the Chinese are giving anonymously is because the entities that would be exposed, that generate and move that cash, are unsavory and are tied, in many cases, to the Chinese Communist Party. So we have this law. If it's above 250, it can't be anonymous. And the Biden Center, then for a very short period of time, in 2018 and in 2019, sets up at the University of Pennsylvania. And the ostensible purpose is, and I'm quoting here from their mission statement, a place where policymakers here and abroad will get to know they can be in touch with some of the best minds. As is typical with anything regarding Joe Biden, more may be getting touched than you originally realized. And here we see the touch of foreign influence. Now, these types of organizations that set up very quickly and then break down very quickly, I mean, I think the Biden Center was around for like a year, about that amount of time. It's an intelligence tool. It's a way to set up an organization, take in talent, and in this case, the talent that came into the Biden Center was a bunch of Biden staff, people that had worked with Biden in various entities in his roles in decades in government. So you take on the staff, and then you are showcasing to the world, and particularly the global foreign interests that may be funding the endeavor, who would ultimately be making a decision in a future administration, in an opportunity to get back into government. So the Biden Center sets up, and then what's really interesting is the just massive influx of foreign cash, of Chinese cash, and of anonymous cash. And that's where we may run afoul of the law that I previously mentioned. So let's look at the data. This is the Chinese cash that is coming into the University of Pennsylvania. So in 2017, now this is before the Biden Center even exists, they get a little over $7.5 million from China, with $500,000 of that being anonymous money. So that's the baseline. Then in 2018, the Biden Center sets up. Now in China gifts, Penn gets not the, you know, little over $7.5 million that they'd gotten before, but over $27 million. And of that $27 million from 2018, instead of 500,000 of it being anonymous, that was the number in 2017. In 2018, that swells to $15.8 million in anonymous Chinese money coming into the University of Pennsylvania when the Biden Center there. So you're looking at 30 times the amount of Chinese money comes in the year that the Biden Center is set up as opposed to the year previously. And then in 2019, you still have the Biden Center existing, and you still have just an enormous amount of money, $27 million again from China, and then $6 million in anonymous Chinese money. And so when you look at the number of gifts and the amount of money, the concern is that these anonymous donations may exceed the $250,000 limit. And that's why there's a desire to get to the bottom of this. I have written a letter that I will send to the Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, today, demanding an investigation into the University of Pennsylvania and the Biden Center as a consequence of the extensive and often anonymous Chinese cash that rolled into the University of Pennsylvania that was way out of line with their previous donations. And I'm concerned that it could have gone to the Biden Center, that it could have broken America's transparency laws, and that fundamentally we all know what this is. It's the selling out of our country for a foreign interest that is hostile, that is against us, that is persecuting people in Hong Kong and in Taiwan. And I mean, heck, if you see now how they're treating the people in Hong Kong or how they treat the Uyghurs or other religious minorities where they got 1.5 million people in concentration camps, it kind of makes you think what they would do to us. And it makes me wonder whether or not our university should be taking any anonymous money from China, but certainly we shouldn't allow any violations of the law. So I am demanding an investigation into the allegations made in the complaint by the National Legal and Policy Center, and I am hopeful that that will be undertaken. I recently saw Secretary DeVos when we traveled to Cape Canaveral to watch the SpaceX launch with President Trump. I informed Secretary DeVos that I would be sending her this letter. And based on my conversation with Betsy DeVos, I have every expectation that the University of Pennsylvania is going to be required to adhere to America's transparency laws, that they're going to be required to prove that everything that they did was just and proper. And if there was corruption, if there was foreign interference, if there was influence peddling, we're going to get to the bottom of it. And I am grateful to the folks at the National Legal and Policy Center for filing this complaint, for getting this information out into the public, and I join them in a demand for answers.
Monkeys escape with COVID-19 samples after attacking a lab assistant. That's the news coming out of Sky News. Richard Williams reporting that in India, a gang of monkeys attacked a laboratory assistant and escaped with a batch of coronavirus blood test samples. This is a bizarre incident. One of the monkeys was even later spotted in a tree chewing on one of the sample collection kits, according to the Times of India, saying that the test samples from patients had to be taken again. So I have got a question. The security protocols of any lab where basically Planet of the Apes takes over and these monkeys are able to seize that coronavirus. Let's hope that our friends in India are able to contain this and that it does not lead to an outbreak. But mean monkeys going after their lab assistants in India, very strange. Thanks for listening to Hot Takes with Matt Gaetz. Please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. It helps other people get our content, and it lets us know that you're enjoying the show. Thanks so much. We'll be back tomorrow with more Hot Takes.